He's the Bible says his mercy endureth forever.
Amen.
His mercy is new every morning.
Amen.
It, his mercy is so amazing.
Amen.
Where our mercy runs out, our patience runs out.
Right.
His does not.
Amen.
Amen. Now there comes a time, there can come a time when a person says no for the last time. But I promise you, it ain't God that gives up. It's the man that says, enough, no. And God's not going to force himself on you. Amen. He wants to save you. He loves you. It's not God's will that any should perish. Amen. If God had his way, there wouldn't be a soul in hell. You ever thought about it that way? I said, if God had his way, there wouldn't be a soul in hell. That's right. God don't get it his way all the time. What about that? That kind of sounds odd, don't it? But it's true. God wants to save sinners.
Amen.
Amen. He made hell for the devil and his angels. It's not even made for man. But that's the only place left to go. Amen. God help. Lord have mercy. I can't imagine anybody that just would not be afraid of slipping off into eternity. Amen. And dying in their sin, going to hell. I mean, look all around us. I mean, just this week, so many people. If you've watched any news, I mean, so many people of all ages went out into eternity to meet God, saved or lost. Amen. That was it. I mean, that was it. No getting ready. As a tree falls, there will it lay. That's what the scripture says. How you leave this world is exactly how you're going to meet God.
Yeah.
Got to be ready.
Yes.
Need to be saved. Need to be born again.
Amen.
Amen. Need the Lord to do something for you.
Amen.
He has to do something for you.
Amen.
This ain't nothing. Listen, you can't play this off.
You're exactly right.
Now, you can't play this one off. Make believe and or even lie your way through. You can't do that on this one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No, the Lord knoweth them that are his.
Amen.
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 The Lord knoweth them that are his.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to be in line, be in that place that's not supposed to be there.
Right.
That's exactly right. But you can be there. You can be saved.
Amen.
Amen. You can be born again tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God. Somebody else.
Brother Mark, I'm going to sing a song.
Amen.
All right.
Wait for him.
Hey, Brother Mark. I want you two up here.
You said you was going to sing a song.
I know it. I need your help.
All right.
Here. Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace peace appear. The hour I first believed, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's I've got a life verse. That's probably that right there is probably my life song.
Amen.
And the reason why God used that song, I don't know how many times, to convict my heart. Every time there was something about that song. That every time they said, let's stand to your feet, sing Amazing Grace, the Holy Spirit would begin to pull on my heart. I mean, my heart would just start beating out of my chest.
Amen.
God letting me know I was lost.
Amen.
That and if I'd have just paid attention, I was so ignorant. God was letting the church sing to me about His amazing grace.
Amen.
What His grace can do for me.
Amen.
And boy, I was just lost, miserable, just lost, miserable. And it didn't matter. I was in revival meetings, different places. When they said, let's sing Amazing Grace, here it come, buddy. I mean, every time, Brother Jerry Lee. God used that. He'd start convicting my heart.
Yeah.
I mean, He convicted me at other times, but it never failed when the church was singing Amazing Grace.
Amen.
The Lord was sure to convict me.
Amen.
And deal with me. And I don't know how many times I threw up a wall. I don't know how many times I sit there and I said, I ain't going. Nope. I don't like this. I don't like this feeling. No. And the devil trying to tell me I was right, and I knew I wasn't right. I knew I wasn't saved. You can't be miserable like that and be saved.
Right.
Amen. God was trying to love on me and draw me to His Son. Amen. I'm thankful for the day that I yielded to Him. To His grace.
Yeah.
There's nothing that I could promise Him. It was His grace.
Yeah. Amen.
He did something for me.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I thank Him. Anybody else got anything on your heart?
No, we visit often now. Lost seem to get saved. Before they get out of here, you don't know what tomorrow holds or what the next moment holds.
Right.
I was listening to a preacher channel on WGCR. I don't remember the preacher, who the preacher was. He was an older man of God, but he said he was preaching one time in one of those revivals like you were talking about. The altars were flooded, but the Lord pointed out to him a man and a wife and their 14-year-old girl in the very back, and poured a press on him to go talk to him. And he started talking to him and asked the dad if he was saved, and he said yes. The mom was saved. But when asked that girl, she said, "No, sir, I'm not saved." And he asked the girl, and he's like, and he said, can I pray with you about it? She said, "No, sir, I don't need your prayers."
Oh, my.
And mom said, "Please, please." Her name was Katie. "Please, Katie, can you pray with the preacher?" She said, "No, mom, I don't want these prayers." Later that night, they were driving home. The dad stopped at a gas station, filling up his gas tank. And a drunk driver came plowing through, hit that car, and flipped it over a few times. And there was gas laying all over the ground, all over the car. Mom and dad were able to get out of the car just fine. No injuries, no nothing, but that little girl was trapped in there. And there was a lot of people that got on site, and one man from the fire department, he was trying to break open the car. When that drunk driver, he got out of his truck, went up the hill, smoked one, threw it on the ground, right on the road, started a fire from all that gas that had been spilled everywhere. As it creeped up to the car, the fire department man, he tried his best to get the girl out, but he had to retreat. And all the while, the girl was screaming, "Mama, Mama, Mama, save me, save me, save me." And Mom said, "Katie, you need to pray to God right now and ask Him to save you. You need to pray to Him." And she said, "No, Mama, I'm not going to pray to God." And that poor little girl burned up in that fire, screaming and saying, "I won't pray to God." There comes that point that when you reject Him so far, that you won't get any more chances.
I heard a similar story. Someone that was trapped in a car like that, and people was begging them to call on God, and he said, "I can't. I can't." Mm-hmm. It's too late. Too late. That's one of the most fearful things that you could think about, is people that have found no place of repentance. The Bible speaks of that. Jezebel found no place of repentance. Couldn't pray. Couldn't repent. Lord have mercy. Anyone else? 2 Timothy chapter number 4, and I'll read one verse, verse number 16. "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge." Verse 17, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." I want to look here in chapter 4 of Paul's last days. Paul's last days. Living in this world for the Apostle Paul, after he was born again, was a perilous thing. He faced a lot of trouble, didn't he? If you read the scripture, you know he talks about all the peril and shipwrecks and beatings and stonings, everything that he faced in this life, as a child of God, as an apostle, the apostle to the Gentiles. What about that? But listen, God promised the apostle Paul. Listen, God gave him eternal life. God promised him heaven. But he didn't promise him it was going to be easy in this world. Are you listening? Actually, the Lord promised Paul that he was actually going to be took to Rome. And that's where he would be killed. Are you listening? God let Paul know that the days that he had ahead of him was hard days. Hard days. Yet the Bible said he endured. He endured afflictions. In verse number 5, he said, "But watch thou in all things endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry." You see, he knew that he was going to have to endure afflictions, that Timothy would have to endure affliction. And if he was going to make full proof of his ministry, he was going to have to endure that. There are a lot of men, listen, that don't endure a hardship as a preacher or as a Christian, and they miss out a lot. Amen. They're going to miss out on a lot of their ministry that God, in other words, would have allowed them to take part in. But you've got to endure some things. Amen. I mean, God wants us to be strong in the Lord. I was speaking about, I think it was this morning, about that knife being heated up and being, tempered. It was bringing it to a place to where it would not break. It was hard. It was tough. Amen? And that's what he's saying. Endure afflictions. These afflictions that you and I are going to endure in this world. Listen, it's help you and I to endure the things that we face when we're trying to make full proof of the ministry. That's what he was telling Timothy here. Now think about some of the things that the Apostle Paul said. He's talking about the last days, the time will come. He's talking about the appearing of the Lord, who's going to judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. And he said the time will come, they'll not endure sound doctrine. Amen. They'll not endure, but you endure. The world's not going to endure what we have to say, but we must endure what they'll dish out when we say what we do. Amen. They will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. But he said, endure afflictions. Paul said in this life, in verse number 6, he said, for I'm now ready to be offered. Paul had got to the place in his last days, he was ready to go. I mean, he was ready to go. Can you say that you're ready? I mean, I'm now ready. I'm ready. I'm now ready. Amen. Listen, I've said it many times, and there's been other preachers say it. I'm ready, but I don't want to leave just yet. Paul said, I'm now ready. I'm ready to get out of here now. Amen. And look at what he said. I have fought a good fight. This life has been a fight. You know what he's talking about? Sure you do. If you've been saved any length of time, you know that this life has been a fight. We are going to have a fight in this world as a child of God. We're going to fight against principalities and powers. Amen. We're going to fight against our own flesh. We're going to fight against laziness and drowsiness and sleepiness. We're going to fight against temptation. It's a fight, but it's a good fight. You can make the fight a good fight. He said, I have fought a good fight. Amen? Listen, it can be a bad fight or it can be a good fight. Amen? Listen, there's times when I was younger, I used to fight. I used to be in taekwondo and karate and a lot of different martial arts that we trained. And we were in a lot of tournaments, a lot of fighting tournaments. I mean, a lot of fighting tournaments. And there's times that I would fight. And boy, it was tough. It was tough. Maybe I just, didn't train my very best. And I just wasn't fully ready for what I was facing that day. But then there was times I knew I'd trained, I'd done everything that I was supposed to do as a fighter. And went into the ring and came out victorious. And I was like, man, that was a good fight. That was a good fight. And all you have to know, you've had to fight to know what I mean when I say that was a good fight. Amen? That means you was on top of things. That means you got the best of the enemy. They didn't get the best of you. Amen? They swung and missed. Maybe even if they hit, it didn't hurt. Why? You was ready. Amen? You were in enduring hardness as a good soldier, as a fighter. Paul said, this life's been a fight. But he said, I've kept the faith. I have kept the faith. I have to fight in this world. And to fight in this world, I need faith.
Amen.
Bible said, for the just shall live by faith.
Amen.
There was something about that this morning, or maybe earlier, about, living by faith. Us living by faith. The just, the Bible said, shall live by faith. Now, Paul, look at his life. I don't want to keep you too long. He talked to them about being diligent in verse number 9. In verse number 10, he's talking about how Demas had forsaken him. People forsook me.
Right.
Only Luke is with me. In verse 11. I didn't hardly have anybody at my side. Everybody's forsaken me. Becoming my enemy. But listen, the things in this world that became precious to the Apostle Paul, he was in jail when he was writing this. But you know what was precious to him? It's come break me out. He didn't say a thing about that. He said, I want my cloak and I want the books, but especially the parchments. Listen, it was the spiritual thing. That cloak, listen, had kept him warm. He had no doubt even slept under it, but he had also, no doubt, he had prayed on it.
Yeah.
Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
And, of course, we know the books and the parchment. We know what that was God's word. That was his notes and God's word. Are you listening to me? I mean, that was what he wanted most. If he was going to have to endure the hardness that now he was enduring, it was another level. He wasn't out in some city having to fight for his life. And life was a fight. He had men trying to stone him. He had been let down a wall I don't know how many times. Listen, he's escaped at sea. He's been shipwrecked. I mean, different things that he endured. But now here he is. He's enduring this cold, wet prison. And the one thing he said, if I'm going to endure, my spiritual life needs to endure more than my physical,
Amen.
My spiritual life. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
I need that. That's going to build up my spiritual life. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. I mean, all these, he's talking about all these men. But he said, the Lord was with me.
Yeah. Amen.
when all that is carnal has turned and forsook you, you know that there's one that will never.
Amen.
That will always be there. That will never forsake us. Amen. That will be there for our strength.
Amen.
Listen, he could be there to lose Peter. Don't you think he could be there to warm Paul? Paul, no doubt, he remembered him and Silas in that jail. You remember? Early in the book of Acts, hands bound, feet bound, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises.
Yeah. Amen.
And the prisoners heard them, and the jail shook. Their fetters came off and the doors came open.
Amen.
Amen. God loosed them.
Amen.
But Paul stayed in the jail. Why? He didn't want that guard to have his life took from him. He stayed right where he was and he hollered because that man was going to take his life. But why? Because, listen, if they would have come the next morning and all the prisoners were gone, they'd have took that man's life. Him not a guilty of doing nothing.
Right.
Amen. He's going to take his life. And Peter stopped and said, "Do thyself no harm. We're all here."
Amen.
Listen, those are the times that Paul looked back and said, "My first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known." He knew what his mission was. His mission was the ministry of the word. His ministry of salvation to the Gentiles.
Yep.
Amen. And he said he'll preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. Get me out of this world that's been nothing but a fight. All the things I've had to endure, all the things that I've had to fight through. Amen. The course that he's laid out for me. All the forsaking. God's going to preserve me to his heavenly kingdom. He'll deliver me from every evil work, verse 18 he said. He's going to deliver me from all this evil work. All the evil that the devil has brought my way. All the discouragement. All the heartaches, the disappointments. The struggles, the trials, and even, listen, not all coming from the devil, the things that maybe I don't understand that the Lord has allowed me to go through. Why? Making me stronger. Making me the vessel that he can use. The vessel that I'm meant to be. He's going to preserve me. He will preserve me. You ladies know what I'm talking about. Preserve. You've made them preserves. You know what I'm talking about. It is put through a process and kept.
Yep.
Amen. He said in verse 21, "Do thy diligence to come before winter." Come before winter. Listen, they're still a part of him. No matter how strong you get in the Lord, you don't desire to go through some deep, cold time. You know the Lord will help you. But nobody desires to go through winter. Go through a wet, cold winter. Nobody's just going to ask the Lord, "Put me first on the list." He said, "Try to get here before winter." What a blessing that'd be to watch them come, bring that cloak, but more than that, to bring his books and the parchments. To have somebody, listen, when everybody was forsaken, to have somebody that didn't forsake him. You know how good it is to have a child of God, to have a brother or a sister that prays for you, that loves you, that knows what you're going through, and that says, I'm here and I'm not leaving. Amen. That's good to have. It's good to have a church that way. Amen. It's good to have God's people that'll show up. Amen. That'll be there for you. In them hard days, in them cold days. Amen. Well, I want you to stand. Thank the Lord.